It is Crossover Thursday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. So you know what that means. That means that Locked On Broncos gets to sit down with your boy Q, host of the Locked On Raiders podcast. We preview the biggest stories for each team. We look at the key matchups, including Patrick Surtain versus Davante Adams. And what do the Broncos need to do to win? You get that and much more on today's brand new episode, Locked On Broncos.
You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
The Denver Broncos travel on the road to take on the Las Vegas Raiders. AFC West divisional showdown here in week four. And it is Crossover Thursday, Locked On Broncos and Locked On Raiders, where we're going to break down the biggest story for each team heading into Sunday's matchup. We're going to look at the key matchups involved that Raiders fans and Broncos fans need to pay attention to. And we're going to talk about, respectively, from the Locked On Broncos and the Locked On Raiders side, what these teams need to do, respectively, in order to come out on top on Sunday with a victory. I'm Cody Rourke, Locked On Broncos, joined alongside by Sarah Bettinger, co-host of Locked On Broncos, and we're crossing it over with Locked On Raiders host, your boy Q. He's our boy Q, and Broncos country loves Q. They really do. And it's kind of a rarity, Q, that Broncos fans like a Raiders personality, but they love you, my man. And I'm excited to break down this matchup with you. And I know Broncos fans are excited to hear a Raiders perspective on this as well.
Yeah, man, it's going to be good times. I'm looking forward to another game, looking forward to this Division West opponent, this AFC West opponent. And obviously with Russell Wilson, the new addition, that's going to be that adds a little bit more fuel to the fire. So should be a lot of fun, man. The crossover is always fun to get together with you and the rest of the Bronco fan base.
But with that said, let's get to what the biggest story of this game is. Sarah, start things off from the Broncos side of things here. What is one of the biggest stories for the Denver Broncos this week heading into Sunday's matchup against the Las Vegas Raiders?
Cody, I look at this game and I'm excited to see how these pass rushes do. I mean, we talk about the biggest additions of the offseason, arguably in the entire NFL, Russell Wilson to the Broncos, Davante Adams to the Raiders. But at the same time, these two teams both made some big moves off the edge as well. Chandler Jones to the Raiders, obviously, and the Broncos picking up Randy Gregory in free agency. To me, those are two of the arguably maybe top 10 biggest moves made in the entire offseason as well. And this game is going to be critical from their perspective, because that's kind of been the issue, right? For each of these teams, it's been, can the Raiders offensive line find consistency this season with kind of all the moving parts that they had before the year started? And for the Denver Broncos, the same is kind of true, right? On that right side of the offensive line, Quinn Meinerz, his status in question. And then obviously Cam Fleming filling in for who knows who is supposed to be the starting right tackle at this point. So the Broncos pass rush and the Raiders pass rush, I feel like that's the biggest area to watch in this game for sure.
Yeah, no, I can agree with that 100%, right? And so far, Max Crosby's been everything that Max Crosby was supposed to be, but Chandler Jones has not showed up to the party yet, you know? And so it's been three games and he has no sacks and only a handful of pressures. So I do think that looking at Denver's pass rush, which has been excellent, you know, between Bradley Chubb and Randy Gregory, big time pickup with Randy Gregory. You know, can the Raiders offensive line hold up? But, you know, can the Raiders defensive line, like you mentioned, the edge rushers, can they actually hold up their end of the bargain and get some pressure on Russell Wilson? And all on top of that, keep him inside the pocket, you know, because he's a guy that's going to get a little loose and get wiggly, even though I know it's been a big conversation with the Broncos fans. It's something he hasn't done yet, right? Something that they're kind of trying to eliminate or slow him down. You guys obviously know a lot better than me, but it'll be interesting, man, to see exactly how Russell Wilson operates in the pocket, outside of the pocket, and how the edge rushers for both teams really attack this game.
Well, and Q, you touched on one of the biggest stories for this Denver Broncos team heading into Sunday's matchup. Can Russell Wilson and the Broncos offense get things going? Now, right now, through 3 weeks, the Raiders defense, they've struggled in the red zone. They've struggled with allowing quarterbacks to throw through the air there. But anytime these two teams face off against each other, we haven't seen them with Russell Wilson, but every time we've seen them face off, it's always a slugfest. And to be honest with you, we talk about rivalry. It really hasn't been a rivalry for quite some time because the Raiders have kicked the Broncos' rear end very consistently. They did it in Denver last year when Rich Bisaccia took over during the week when John Gruden was, you know, dismissed from the team. And then they just couldn't beat the Raiders in Vegas. They've had a very, very hard time. And the Broncos offense really struggled against San Francisco, who's a really legitimate defense, by the way. But right. I think the element is, you mentioned it, the pass rushers with Max Crosby. He's got two sacks on the season for this Raiders football team. And this is not the game where you want, if you're a Broncos fan, you don't want Chandler Jones to come alive on the other side opposite of him. So that is one of the biggest stories for the Broncos here. But Q, when you look at this Las Vegas Raiders team, what is the biggest story for them coming into this matchup?
I think it's really what's their identity, right? Because I think that through three games, none of us, including myself, could tell you what their identity is. Is it throw the ball to Davante Adams a bunch of times and let him go ahead and do what he does? Is it, you know, try to be balanced and get other guys involved like they did last week with Mac Hollins having a big game? Is it run the rock, which they haven't really done too much of, you know, consistently? So I don't think that they have the actual identity of this team. It's something that I talked about even last week when they played Tennessee. Like, can you establish who you're going to be? You know, I talked to a former Raider great, Eric Allen, earlier this week, right after that Tennessee Titans game. And he said, Q, they don't have an identity yet, right? And so that's something that former players are noticing, that not yet they've been able to put their finger on exactly who this team wants to be. I think Josh McDaniels is a hell of a head coach as far as, well, a hell of a play caller, let's put it like that. He wasn't a hell of a head coach in Denver, but I think his play calling ability is fantastic, right? And so I thought that that was going to be a big strength of the Raiders offense this year, and so far it hasn't panned out. Doesn't look like there's a big rhyme or reason to what he's calling right now. And you know, he's consistently told us that he's looking for balance. He's trying to not get behind too many in the game and too many points like they did last week, getting down 24 points to Tennessee and having to battle back. And then it takes some of the game away. So there's been a lot of different elements that have gone into it, but they're just not clicking on all cylinders right now. So maybe this is the game. You know how it is when teams haven't won a game yet. I always feel like they're the most dangerous team in the league because they want to win badly. So they pull out all the stops. I don't know if this is the game that they get right and figure out who they are offensively. But until they do, man, I think it's going to be a struggle. So for me, the storyline is, what is your identity? How can you find your identity? And when are you going to get that thing rolling?
Yeah, and you talk about get right games. I mean, I feel like Josh Jacobs has one of those against the Denver Broncos every single year. And it kind of reminds people, hey, this is why we drafted him in the first round, right? Is it, you know, he's that guy from Alabama again. But that happens strictly almost against the Broncos. And I know I noticed the Raiders haven't been running the ball a ton this year. But like you mentioned, what is the identity of the team? Are you force feeding Davante Adams? And if you choose to do that in this game, I think one of the biggest storylines as well will be Davante Adams, arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL, going up against Pat Surtain II, who has emerged this season and all of last year really as well as arguably one of the best corners in the game. So that matchup is going to be fun to watch. I think anybody that loves just great football is going to be excited to see those two go at it for four quarters.
I agree 100%. And so that's why I kind of look at it and think maybe, you know, it's a game where Davante gets targeted because you have to target him, right? I mean, I think he gets targeted. He's got a touchdown in every game so far this season. Maybe this is a game where Darren Waller breaks out because, you know, who's the guy who's going to match up against Darren Waller? If you have Surtain going up against Davante, you know, that's one thing. Okay, so those two are matched up. That's good on good. But, you know, does Darren Waller have an opportunity to get loose a little bit? And I think that maybe he does. I know that the tight ends have been a problem for the Broncos to cover in past years. And I even think even this season, maybe a little bit. I know they were pretty successful against Kittle, his first game back. But, you know, it's going to be a big question. So I'm looking for if Adams is locked up with Surtain and really has a slow day, who else could step up and be that X factor? I think Darren Waller might have that opportunity, especially coming off a bad game like he had against the Titans.
That's just a preview of some of the matchups for Sunday's game against the Denver Broncos and the Las Vegas Raiders AFC West Divisional Showdown. Q, Sarah, and myself, we're going to preview some of the matchups, including why Patrick Surtain versus Davante Adams is must-see TV. We'll get to that coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, let me tell you about BetOnline.net, the sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos, Lockdown Raiders, crossover Thursday here on the Lockdown Podcast Network. BetOnline.net is your number one source for football betting info this season. You can find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis on every game that you can find. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sport wagering information with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. The fastest and the easiest way to check in on all your favorite games and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf. So head to BetOnline.net or use your mobile device to learn more today. BetOnline, where the game starts. As we continue on with this Lockdown Broncos, Lockdown Raiders crossover Thursday special episode here on the Lockdown Podcast Network, just want to say thank you so much to everybody tuning in, making Lockdown Broncos or Lockdown Raiders your first listen of the day, every single day, free and available everywhere you get your podcasts or available on YouTube as well. Sarah, Q, looking at this game, I mean, there's a multitude of matchups. When we talked about the offseason on paper, what we were looking forward to seeing when we had the ultimate AFC West divisional crossover with this team and with both of these teams, with some of the additions that they've made. Q, I want to start things off with you. When we look at this game on Sunday, what is one of the bigger matchups you have your eyes on from a Locked On Raiders perspective against the Denver Broncos?
I'm really looking at the Raiders offensive line versus the Broncos defensive line. I think that that is the biggest strength right there of the Broncos, is those two guys screaming in off the edges. You know, I actually asked head coach Josh McDaniels on Wednesday about the running game, and maybe this is a game that you have to rely on the run and lean on it a little bit heavier to try to slow those guys down. You know, I mean, that's how much I think that that's going to be important. Bradley Chubb is phenomenal when he's healthy, and he's healthy. Right. I mean, so he's just that guy. And Randy Gregory, I mean, I was in Texas for a long time, covered him while he was with the Cowboys. As long as he's not suspended or he's not injured, he's phenomenal as well. And he's neither right now. Right. He's a hell of a player. So I just look at those two guys and say, man, one's going to go up against Colton Miller and one's going to go up against other. Most likely other is going to be Thayer Mumford, who's a 7th round pick out of Ohio State. And look, he played well last week. I say well, but he's a 7th round pick, right? And you're asking him to go up against a premier edge rusher. And so that's going to be a difficult challenge for him to stand up to. So I think that there's going to need to be some help. You know, if it's a tight end staying in the chip, if it's a running back staying in the chip, or as I mentioned to Josh McDaniels, maybe the run game, so these guys can't pin their ears back and continue to go. And the one thing that he said to me that stood out the most was the biggest problem is the Broncos are so stinking good on first down defense. Right. That first down defense, a lot of times the Broncos don't allow that other team, whoever they're playing, their opponent, to get positive yards on first down, which causes them to be in second and long, third and long, which is what? A passing down. Right. That turns them into a passing down. And that makes those guys on the edge say, OK, I smell the blood in the water. Let's go get it. So the Raiders have to stay ahead of the chains. And I know that's easier said than done. I'm not in the game. I ain't got to worry about getting drilled. Right. I'm good. But the Broncos defense, that's what they've been thriving on. And again, I don't have to tell you guys, you know that, but that first down, the Raiders have to stay in front of the chains. They can't have second and long, third and long. If they do, it could be a very long day at the office.
Part of me is feeling that what we will see from Josh McDaniels, Derek Carr in this offense is on first down, they're just going to go play action to open things up. They're going to try to get positive yards thing because that's going to soften the defense up a little bit. But you're right. The Broncos defense has been stout with Bradley Chubb, Randy Gregory, and even DJ Jones. He's in concussion protocol this week, though, so we'll see what his status may be for Sunday. But Mike Purcell, veteran defensive lineman, is coming off of a terrific game against the San Francisco 49ers where he manhandled the interior of the 49ers offensive line, which is a really odd sight to see, expecting it from, you know, one of the NFL's best rushing offenses right in the league. We'll see how things open up there. But Sarah, from a Lockdown Broncos perspective, what is a matchup that you have that you're looking forward to seeing against the Las Vegas Raiders on Sunday?
Well, I think it's just the inverse of what Q just talked about, you know, the Broncos offensive line against that Raiders pass rush. And I know that maybe right now it's heavily on Max Crosby's shoulders to be that productivity consistently off the edge. But that's really where the Broncos arguably weakest area of the offensive line is, with Cam Fleming at that right tackle position. We've seen a couple of times, and obviously, you know, if you grade on the Nick Bosa curve, you're not going to have the best game out there. But at the same time, I mean, Max Crosby is one of the premier guys. Cody, you know, as many times as we talked about him in the offseason, I love Max Crosby's game, and I do. That's one of those guys that just watching the game, you kind of hold your breath anytime the quarterback snaps the ball. And Russell Wilson, he has had times this season where, like you mentioned, the narrative is like, why is Russ not running, or why is he not doing the things that we're so used to him seeing in terms of creating plays when the pocket breaks down? He did a little bit of that against the 49ers at the end of the game, but that's really, to me, one of those number one areas. How quickly is Max Crosby going to get off that edge? How are the Broncos going to chip and help and do those different types of things? Because Albert Okwuegbunam hasn't been much help in that regard this year, and other tight ends when they're on the field, like the Broncos, it's just unpredictable at this point. So it's one of those things that's like, man, that matchup is going to be absolutely critical as the Broncos struggle to find any offensive success, is watching how Cam Fleming does at right tackle going up against Max Crosby.
Well, Q, I had a question as well, because one of my key matchups I was looking forward to seeing outside of PS2 versus Davante Adams, we'll touch on that. But, yeah. This Broncos wide receiving core against this Las Vegas Raiders secondary, as we found out, they're kind of banged up right now. Rockison status is in question. Nate Hobbs in concussion protocol. I mean, what can you tell us about the Raiders secondary right now? And then we can highlight a little bit of PS2 versus Davante.
It's a lot of questions right now. Like you said, Nate Hobbs, I mean, there's nothing he can do. He's in concussion protocol, so he's just got to ride that out until he clears. And so far, Andre James, the center, he was in concussion protocol week one. He hasn't returned yet. Hunter Renfrow was in concussion protocol last week. He hasn't returned yet. So most likely, Nate Hobbs probably won't play on Sunday, which is bad for the Raiders. That's the best corner that they have, bar none. It's not even close. He's the best corner that they have on the roster. So that's a big hit. So if you don't have him, you have Amik Robertson, who finally picked up his first interception a couple weeks ago against the Cardinals. That was his first career interception. He's been with the team for a few years now. You have Rockison, like you said, he practiced today in a limited fashion. So that's, I guess, good, but he is banged up, as you mentioned. And then you have Sam Webb, undrafted free agent, a guy coming from a D2 school. I mean, he's earned his roster spot. He's tall. He's long. He's kind of one of those typical Seattle Seahawk type defensive backs. The lengthy Richard Sherman type guys when they had the Legion of Boom. Not saying he's a Legion of Boom guy, but he's kind of looks like that has the body type of those guys. So, I mean, it's thin, man. It's thin pickings right now as far as the secondary goes. So that could be a long day. I know, obviously, there's going to be Jerry Jeudy. He's out there. Cortland Sutton's out there. I mean, there's weapons out there for Russ. And the Raiders, their secondary right now is a question. Trayvon Merrick on the back end, he's been dealing with a hip injury. He hasn't played since week one. He's practiced the last couple days in limited fashion, so maybe he's out there. The saving grace that I think for the safeties, at least, is Jerron Harmon, the old veteran, man. He's been in the league about 10, 11 years. He's like, he just knows what to do, right? He knows where to be, how to make plays, how to come through clutch. So that's the saving grace. So if Trayvon Merrick can't go on the back end, I feel good with Harmon out there, but the corners, man, there's definitely a lot of questions as far as the corners go.
Well, let's go rapid fire right here. I'll highlight Patrick Surtain real quick, and you can give me a little insight on Davante Adams. Patrick Surtain, week three, covering Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel was targeted a total of 6 times, allowed 0 receptions. Technical standpoint there, will probably face his biggest test of his career against Davante Adams, the arguable best wide receiver in the league. A lot of players said, hey, he's one of the best route runners. His release, he knows how to stack against, on top of routes there. But the last couple weeks, he struggled after having 10 catches, 141 yards against the Chargers week one. He's struggled a little bit the last couple of weeks, and he's mentioned that he's frustrated. What's the story here with this matchup between these two guys here?
Well, it depends on if, he's able to get multiple targets from Derek Carr. It's not the fact that he hasn't been open. It's just the fact that the targets haven't come as often, right? Josh McDaniels is calling the offense. Derek Carr is trying to throw it to where he believes that coach wants him to throw it. So, it's kind of been one of those, damned if you do, damned if you don't. You throw it to him too many times like he did in week one, then everyone's saying, oh, you're targeting him. You're forcing it to him. Then you don't force it to him enough. Then it's like, hey, wait a minute, you got Davante Adams, force it to him. So, I mean, it's one of those catch-22 type conversations. I think you're going to see plenty of targets Davante Adams' way. The guy is just incredible on the line of scrimmage, what he's able to do. And I know Surtain is fantastic. I was a big fan of his coming out of Alabama. He's just that guy. He's going to be one of the best DBs in the league, I do believe. I think it's going to be a fun chess match, right? I think he's going to win a little bit. I think Davante is going to win a little bit. I think ultimately this game comes down to the other guys. Can the other guys win? Can Waller win? Can a Mac Hollins win? Can Josh Jacobs get going? And then on the other side, how much can the defense get to the quarterback? How much will they rattle Derek Carr? Will he be off his mark? There's a lot of, I feel like, chess moves that are going to be made in this game, but Patrick Surtain and Davante Adams, that's definitely going to be must-watch TV.
So many things to go into this matchup on Sunday between these two teams in an AFC West divisional showdown. How can the Broncos or how can the Raiders win? We give our respective answers coming up here in just a moment. But let me tell you about the sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos, Lockdown Raiders, Crossover Thursday on the Lockdown Podcast Network. It's some good friends over there at Brightco. And it's the best jewelry insurance in the business today. Now, you've probably seen the videos that Brightco has released. We've seen different situations where a guy has proposed his fiance on a pier. He goes to put the ring on her finger. She drops it or he drops it and it gets lost forever. You don't want to be that guy. That would not be fun. So here's the lesson. You don't want to be that guy, and you certainly don't want it splattered all over the internet for everybody to see to make fun of you on Twitter. The guys at Brightco Jewelry Insurance will make sure that you get a replacement for the full value of that ring, no matter if it's lost, stolen, or you just can't figure out what happened to it. Go to bright.co/lockedon. It's the fastest, easiest, and cheapest way to cover your butt with the best jewelry insurance in the business. And it's something that the Los Angeles Chargers are hoping that they can find at some point, but we doubt it over here in the Locked On Broncos, Locked On Raiders side of things. As we continue on with today's Locked On Broncos, Locked On Raiders crossover Thursday, especially on the Locked On podcast. Now we're going to dive into how these teams can win respectively. I'm Cody Work of Locked On Broncos, joined alongside my co-host Sarah Bettinger, and we're talking with Locked On Raiders host, your boy Q. He's everybody's boy. We love Q as well. Broncos country loves Q as well. So let's start things off here. Sarah, from a Locked On Broncos perspective, if the Denver Broncos are going to come out on top on Sunday with a victory against AFC West division rival Las Vegas Raiders to improve their record on the season, to make the Raiders go 0-4 to start, what do they need to do?
Well, I think first and foremost, Cody, the defense just has to keep doing what they've been doing, right? They have to keep on getting pressure consistently. Like we talked about, it's like a really good running game. Over the course of, you know, the first three quarters, you don't necessarily notice the 4 to 5 yard carries, but then at the end of the game, all of a sudden it just breaks open. That's how the Broncos pass rush has been. That's how it needs to continue to be, just consistently there, rattling Derek Carr, like you said, kind of getting him off his mark early. And the offense, Cody, we know, first couple of games, we saw them move the ball between the 20s really well, couldn't punch it in the red zone. And then the third game against the 49ers, they couldn't move the ball between the 20s. They finally get one into the red zone and punch it in with Melvin Gordon there. They got to find something on offense in this game. They've got to start looking like they were supposed to with Russell Wilson at quarterback, right? I mean, maybe not necessarily 40, 45 points like everybody was dreaming we could do against the Houston Texans or whatnot. But at the same time, finding an offense that looks like, oh, wow, this is the Russell Wilson Broncos offense that I expected. I think in order to end this streak against the Raiders, which has been going back since 2015, right? Losing on the road against the Raiders, it's been a brutal streak. So they're going to have to be firing on all cylinders. Like you said early on, the Raiders being 0-3 means absolutely nothing in this game in terms of just going up head to head against each other. It's a divisional matchup against two teams. And I mean, my goodness, that's exactly what the Broncos need desperately right now, for not just the team, but for the fan base to see that offense looking like we thought it could be.
Q, from a Locked On Raiders perspective, what do the Raiders have to do on Sunday in order to get their first win of the season and avoid going 0-4?
Well, I'll tell you, most importantly, what they need to do is play four quarters. They need to play a full game. You can't play a half a game and think you're going to win in the NFL consistently. And last season, they were able to squeak out a lot of victories. They had a lot of come from behinds, a lot of walk-offs. That's something that you can't count on. So far this season, they haven't played one complete game, not against the Chargers, not against the Cardinals, not against the Titans. They were up 20-0 against the Cardinals week two and then gave up 29 points in the second half in overtime. Took a L. They were down like 24-10 at halftime with the Titans in week three and then came storming back and then lost, 24-22, shut out the Titans in the second half. So if your defense could play that solid one half to another half, great. But you've got to do it for four full quarters, and your offense has got to come out clicking. So they've got to put together four full quarters of football. And on top of that, their offense has to find their identity. Talked about that earlier in the show. They just haven't established it yet. You know, they have Davante Adams. That was the big acquisition. That's what everyone was excited about. He gets to team up with his college teammate and Derek Carr. Okay, well, show everybody something. What are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do? What is the vision that Josh McDaniels has for this offense and for this team? How does he think that this is going to work as far as winning games in the National Football League? What's going to consistently be? I mean, you can look at Kansas City and you know who they are, right? You look at Denver, I feel like I know who they are. I need to know who the Raiders are. I don't know who they are. Through 3 weeks, I don't know just yet who they're supposed to be or what they're supposed to be. So establishing their identity and playing a full four-quarter game has got to be what they do. And if they don't do that, they're going to be 0-4. And then there's really going to be a lot of questions. Then they head to Kansas City on a Monday Night Football in the game, and then they hit their bye week. So there's going to be a ton of questions the next few weeks if they don't find a way to win on Sunday. And again, the way to do it, you got to play all four quarters, and you got to have an identity and go out there and execute. Simple as that.
you just described how I was feeling about the Broncos offense. They can't find, you know, you can't just have this fourth quarter magic, you know, when you're struggling. You have to find a way to piece it together consistently. And that's something I think from a Lockdown Broncos perspective, if they can find a way to get the offense going, you mentioned the injuries in the secondary right now. If Russell Wilson and company can take advantage of those injuries and get some big chunk plays through the air, Cortland Sutton's been a big part of that. He's had 49.7% of their targeted air yards through the first 3 weeks of the season, which is unbelievable. But now that Jerry Jeudy, who was dealing with a rib injury last week, played in that game, maybe he's a little more comfortable this week. Albert Okwuegbunam on the tight end. KJ Hamler maybe getting a little bit more involved this week as well will be a huge storyline for this Broncos football team. And can they punch it in the red zone when they find themselves in an opportunity against a Raiders defense that's currently right now in the bottom 10, allowing 80% of their opponents to score in red zone opportunities this season? The Broncos offense dead last in red zone opportunities in terms of being able to convert it. So it kind of balances each other out there, and we'll see how it goes.
Something's got to give. On Sunday.
We're looking forward to the match.
Let me ask you this real quick. Let me ask both of you guys this, because I said I feel like I know who the Broncos are. And if I'm wrong, cool. That's why we're on this show right now together trying to figure things out. I feel like the Broncos are a run-first team, play strong defense, and now that they have the quarterback that can make all the throws, add that as a weapon. But I feel like the Broncos are a run-first team, and the defense has got to be strong. And I think that that's similar to what Seattle was when Russell Wilson was really good, right? They used that same recipe. I feel like that's what Denver, and that's what their identity is. But I could be wrong.
I think that's what they have to be, right? They need to be able to lean on that running game to just prevent exactly what we saw against the 49ers. The 49ers constantly just loading up the box, kind of doing what we've seen a lot of teams do to the Denver Broncos with Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Lock. You could go down the entire list, daring them to throw the ball, and the Broncos just simply couldn't get anything going. And Russ would hit guys downfield, and they would drop a pass, and then all of a sudden he's taking a sack with a guy running wide open. And so you're absolutely right. The identity has to be run first and build everything off that. It kind of has felt at times like they don't necessarily know that that's their bread and butter, so to speak, is, hey, you just hand the ball off to Javonte Williams, get those things going, run off the play action. We haven't seen a ton of those play action boot fakes that we were promised by Nathaniel Hackett at his introductory press conference. So it's going to be one of those things where it is, you're right, that should be the identity of the team. At this point, it seems like we're kind of fighting against, is this Russ's offense? Is this the Nathaniel Hackett / Aaron Rodgers Green Bay offense? And all of those different things combined with injuries and all and penalties and all that stuff has kind of led us to think like, what is it then? What is it supposed to be? Because we know what on paper it's supposed to be, but on the field, we're seeing something completely different.
It's a wild, wild west. And it's certainly played out that way, especially when we look at the Chargers too. Like, Chargers are banged up. So like from a Raiders and Broncos perspective, I mean, the AFC West right now, it's still like, it's not closed. I think it's still fairly wide open this early on in the season. So it's going to be a fun matchup on Sunday. I'll be traveling to Allegiant Stadium to cover the game from a Broncos perspective. I know Q covers it from a Raiders perspective at Allegiant Stadium as well. Yes. Looking forward to catching up with my guy in person. But with that said, thank you so much to everybody in Broncos country, Raiders Nation, for tuning in to today's Crossover Thursday special here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Make sure you check out these teams' respective feeds every single day, free and available everywhere you get your podcasts or on YouTube. We'll see you after the game.